Dude, this is going to be fun, man. I mean, can you believe all these takes that are out in the street nowadays about the NFL draft? Like, we need this draft to come and come now, man. There's people saying some crazy stuff out there.
It's time to fade the chalk.
Fade the chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, Ebro, and with me, as always, to go through another NFL draft prospect profile is my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. Adam, you ready to rock some Elijah Mitchell today?
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about some of these prospects again, because all day on Wednesday, I tried to wrap around my head the fact that Colin Cowherd said Chad Johnson couldn't run routes. That really was something, so I'm ready to move on.
Dude, it's another day. It's another crazy narrative thrown out there, but I don't want to bury this too far before we get rolling here, man. We have got a special guest to discuss Elijah Mitchell with us today. Emory Hunt is in the house. You can follow him on Twitter at FBallGamePlan. Emory, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, man. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Oh, I definitely agree, man. I mean, I think that people just after going through everything, people just run out of like talking points. They're like, all right, well, you know what? Let's throw this against the wall. We'll see if that works, man. Before we start talking about Elijah Mitchell, tell all the good people out there, I want to kind of lean into your background as well for people that do not know why we kind of discussed or at least talked about a running back from UL for this episode and bringing you on specifically here.
Well, you know, I played running back at University of Louisiana, and it's good to see now these guys are, you know, just dominant out there on the field. I was excited to see this season play out. And with all the people that are going back to school, I think 2021 should be another stellar year for the Cajuns.
Yeah, man, you're doing all kinds of amazing work. I mean, like, you're still rocking it at CBS and Sportsline. Can you tell everybody about your entire write-up, like your magical novel of prospects with the F-Ball Game Plan?
Yeah, well, we have a 2021 draft guide out at footballgameplan.com/2021draft guide. And people can go place their order there. It's, you know, you get over 570 individual scouting reports on everyone. So, you know, you're talking about almost 600 players and over 700 or so pages. So you're just getting every bit of info you can get. And it's all scouting reports basis, you know, is what you need to know about the player that you care about. We know fans don't genuinely care about, you know, broad jump and vertical and all that stuff. When they're watching the game, they want to know who this guy is and what can he do and what can he do. And that's what our draft guide is. And that's what you get. So you get your hands on not only guys that are going to get drafted, but, you know, we know the NFL is a transient league. So you're going to see guys that are going to come and go off your roster. So what better way to be prepared for those players than to have that draft guide handy?
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, it's fantastic. When you're going 500-plus players, you know the grind is real, and you're going deep into every single NFL draft class. So for all these NFL prospects and these rookies coming into the league, right now their ADPs are not reflected about where they could land, where the draft capital could be walking into the NFL. If you want to take advantage of that, head to Underdog Fantasy today. Use the promo code FTN. If you don't like it, they will honor a money-back guarantee up to $100 in that first month if you do not love it. There's no risk, man. Head over there. Start doing drafts. Start taking advantage. Get these rookies on your best ball squad. So diving into Elijah Mitchell. Stands at 5'10", 201. He had a great pro day. I mean, literally, this guy was electric. Ran a 4.4, and say what you want about the fact that, like, yes, it's pro days and stuff of that nature. Still 86th percentile speed score, 88th percentile burst score. Looking at all the other different boxes that he checks, he was 83rd percentile for his yards per carry, and his spark came in at 74th percentile. Now, he didn't hit UL running, like, specifically at the age of 19, only had 257 rushing yards, but after that, 985. Over 1,000 yards, 878 in this past season. He did have 120 reception season back in 2018, but this is a three-way split. Was the entire time at UL with him, Raymond Calais in the two previous seasons, and Trey Rogas. This last season, it was him, Rogas, and Chris Smith. Before we get this rolling, I got to mention here a fantastic site called Collectible. Collectible lets fans buy and sell real equity shares in rare and exciting sports goods. So sports cards, memorabilia, all kinds of fantastic stuff. Share prices starting at just $1. Whew, man, like you gotta get in on this. This is fantastic stuff here, man. Get signed up with the promo code FTN for a chance to win limited edition Topps Project 70 cards signed by DJ Ski and over $10,000 in sports cards prizes. So visit collectible.com/FTN for all the details. That's collectible.com/FTN. I kick us off here, Emery. What did you see out of Elijah Mitchell? Anything jump out as far as his production profile to you before we kind of lean into his strengths?
Well, I mean, he just did what he was supposed to do. You know, they have a really good offensive line, and, you know, it's, they run the football very well, and that's kind of what you expect. You look at the guy last year, Raymond Calais, who had a tremendous, you know, season with the Cajuns in conjunction with what they had in Regis and Mitchell, and, you know, with Calais going off to the league and Regis and Mitchell being the primary ball carriers, I'm not surprised to see their production be what it was in 2020.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about it. Like, their offensive line was fantastic all three of his years. I mean, 20th, 2nd, and 10th in adjusted line yards. So, yeah, he ran behind a good offensive line the entirety of his career. But, I mean, it's not too much to knock for him as far as, like, his skills. But, Adam, when you watched him on film, what kind of stood out for you as far as, like, his strengths or what you thought you took away as, like, things he obviously does well?
I thought he had really good vision. That was probably one of the first things I noticed. And you guys mentioned how good that, like, this team's running attack the last couple of years has been legitimately one of the best in college football. So, like, they've generated multiple, you know, NFL offensive linemen and running backs. So, like, the offensive line was good, but I still thought that Elijah Mitchell had really good vision. And clearly we saw in the pro day, and if you watch him, he has enough burst to get through the hole with some agility and speed. So definitely the vision stood out the most to me. I think it's definitely a strength of his. And then, like, a lot of times we'll see production profiles of running backs who don't catch a ton of passes, right? And just assume that they're not really capable. But I thought the opposite with Elijah Mitchell. Like, I thought he caught the ball really well. Like, I thought he had really soft hands, and I saw him catch the ball with his hands a lot rather than his body. So definitely one of those situations where just because you don't see a ton of receptions and production in the passing game doesn't mean that Elijah Mitchell cannot catch the football out of the backfield.
Yeah, I mean, some of that's going to be capped when you're splitting the work between three right. different running backs. So just, I know we get hung up on volume stats and talking about, okay, did a guy hit 20 receptions in every single season? When you're sharing a backfield with two other dudes, like, that's going to get capped to a certain amount. So just because you didn't hit that, I mean, I think it's really interesting that you're talking about that, Adam, because, I mean, like, Elijah Mitchell on paper was, he's impressive in a lot of different fashions, man. Like, 2018, amongst all running backs with 14 or more targets, he was 4th in yards per route run. So I think that is a feather in his cap. But, Emery, speaking of feathers in his cap, like, what do you think that are things that Elijah Mitchell does well and can translate to the NFL level?
Well, he knows how to score the football. I think he has a really good nose for the end zone. He's, you know, he's got good vision. He's a pick and slide runner, so he's patient in that regard. He has good acceleration. He has, as evident by his, on-field performance, but also in how he tests, he has breakaway speed. So his, you know, track speed translates to football speed because he's able to run away from defenders. So I just think that he is also able to do things very well in the passing game and from a downfield perspective, not just like your standard receiving type back, but a guy that can be utilized in a downfield passing game. He has, you know, all that working for him, you know, as he makes that transition to the NFL.
Agreed, man. And I think that if you look at how they ran the scheme at, as far as the running at UL, I mean, it was predominantly zone. I mean, the guy only rolled up 72 gap carries over his 3-year career. So that leans into all this, like we're talking about with his vision. I really liked, you saw multiple runs where, and I'm not surprised he tested as well as he did. You saw multiple runs where he was pulling away from dudes in the open field. Like, as long as he got a crease, he was pulling away from guys. Like Georgia State, I remember one of those runs where he got in the open field into the second level and phew, he was gone, man. So I do like that as far as, like, I think that he'll translate well to an outside zone scheme at the NFL level. It's kind of where I want him to go. I think that his pass catching is a little bit underrated. I saw multiple times in a few different instances where he had to adjust to the ball placement was not great on some passes thrown to him. You saw him adjust to that mid-stride, catch it, and get downfield. So I think that he is a little bit more – there's a little more prowess in the passing game than obviously, like, just staring at the hard counting stats are going to lead you to believe. But, Emery, what are some of the areas that you think Elijah Mitchell could improve on, or some of the – I don't want to say holes in his game, but some concerns that you have?
Well, I think he stands – he has a lot of room to get stronger, especially in the lower body. You know, there are times where he can go down a little bit too easily with guys swiping at his legs. And, you know, I think that's an area where he can get better. He played at 217. He measured in for his combine workout at like 208. So you wonder what the real weight is. I think his true weight is about 217. I think he dropped that weight just to run, you know, a little bit faster, which is understandable. But I just think that his, you know, his ability to get stronger in the lower body will help him power through some of those arm tackles. Really start to, you know, maximize a lot of these runs that were out there on the field for him at UL.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think that when you're looking at a guy, and we're talking about all the athletic testing measurables and stuff, he tested extremely well. He was a guy that, like, we're talking about breakaway speed and stuff like that. Like, I didn't see as much wiggle as I thought I was going to see on film from him. He was more of a linear runner, like one cut and get downfield. Does he have that explosion when he gets into the second level? Yes. But there was also a lot of, like, I mean, it was either like 20 yard run for him, 15 yard run for him, or he's getting stopped near the line of scrimmage. I was expecting maybe a little bit more lateral agility. I didn't see that. I thought he kind of ran a little bit upright at times. You're talking about the fact that he had problems shedding easy tackles. Adam, what did you see when you watched Elijah Mitchell?
Yeah, a lot of the same stuff that you guys mentioned, for sure. I thought his pad level was a little bit inconsistent, but, like, he there was times where he clearly showed that he can break through tackles, and then, like Emery said, there were some times where he was just kind of taken down too easily on leg tackles and stuff. So, and maybe that has to go into you know, goes hand in hand with what Emery said about him potentially, you know, cutting down some weight to run faster at the pro day, and maybe that helps him if he gets back to that playing weight he was at. But yeah, I do agree with you, Deeper. I'd like to see him with a little bit more variety of moves in the open field, because he can get to the open field with that vision. But I definitely would like to see a little bit more elusiveness from him when he gets to that second level.
So, Emery, leaning into the draft is coming up. It's in 2 weeks. Where could you see Elijah Mitchell falling to? Any specific team fits or like a comp that stood out to you as far as for Elijah Mitchell?
He reminds me a lot of Tony Pollard with the Cowboys. Okay. And I think that he's like, you know, from thinking about what the position is and where teams need backs, you know, not a lot of teams need tailbacks right now as far as like taking them early. So you could see, you know, the position itself slide a little bit out of the first round into the second round, which then pushes down the whole, the whole position. So I could see him going maybe late day two, early day three, fourth round. So third, fourth round is where I think you could likely see Elijah Mitchell go. It doesn't matter who he goes to, but I just think that's where the range lies for him, because again, he can help you, you know, on offense as a runner, as a receiver, and also in special teams as a returner.
Yeah, I agree. Third or fourth round is kind of where I pegged him as well. I think that he's going to go after this top tier guys and kind of where he falls in. It depends on, one, what a team thinks about his testing. He's not coming from like an SEC school and things of that nature. So I think probably fourth round is a sweet spot. The two teams that kind of stood out to me were possibly New England. I don't think that they're going to pay up. I mean, they still got Sony Michel on the roster. Damian Harris is still there. James White and stuff. So is that the most fantastic landing spot? No. But good offensive line. Looking at a back as well that offers – a little bit of everything for a team. And I think that he can shoulder a little bit more of a load than what we saw at UL. The other team that stood out to me, and if they don't address the running back position early, which they couldn't, And some of the zone scheme concepts that they possibly implement in this coming season, the Jets almost makes some sense to me in the third or fourth round too. I had a hard time comping him. I'll be honest. Like, there's so many different things that I felt like he did well, areas that like I was expecting a little bit more. About the closest I landed on him was possibly like some shades of Marlon Mack, but it's not perfect. Adam, where did you land with all this?
A little bit like Daryl Henderson, but I think Daryl Henderson has a little bit more like ability to break tackle, at least right now, and that could change, obviously. But I definitely like the Tony Pollard call, too. In terms of landing spots, we know they don't have a second-round pick, but I think Elijah Mitchell is going to go in the third round anyway. But Carolina makes sense. I think Elijah Mitchell could be a perfect player that if anything were to happen to McCaffrey like last year, he would be able to handle, you know, 15 to 18 touches a game. And they obviously lost Mike Davis in the offseason. So if they want to upgrade their running back position, especially after a season where they only had McCaffrey for, what, three games, that pick makes some sense in the third round. I would like that pick, and maybe Denver as well. I've talked about Denver a couple times for running back landing spots, but they lost Philip Lindsay. Yes, they added Mike Boone, but who knows how long Melvin Gordon's future is going to be there. I could see that being a spot as well.
Yeah, I definitely could see the Denver one especially. I mean, they still got Royce Freeman, Mike Boone's on the roster, but Gordon's on his last year of his contract. I think it can make a whole lot of sense. Emery, dude, thank you for stopping by and discussing Elijah Mitchell with us. Tell everybody yet again exactly what you got going on, things you got in the works right now.
Well, they can follow me on Twitter at FBallGamePlan. They can subscribe on YouTube at youtube.com/footballgameplan. They can pick up their copy of the draft guide at footballgameplan.com/2021draft guide. And, you know, you can always catch me on CBS Sports HQ talking NFL draft, talking NFL prospects. And, you know, I'm constantly around just talking ball. So, you know, follow, subscribe, and you know, looking forward to the conversation.
Absolutely, man. Such a good time sitting here being able to talk about a good prospect in Elijah Mitchell. All right, Adam and I are going to be back later this week discussing more NFL draft prospects, more best ball content, all things leading up to the NFL draft. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.